Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so thrilled today because I have somebody very amazing with me. Her name is Amanda Edwards, and she is going to be talking all about her journey of entrepreneurship. But she is a business mentor, and I actually was on her podcast a couple years ago now. But she's a fascinating woman and phenomenal mentor. But I would really love for her to introduce herself, and then we'll get started. So Amanda, please introduce yourself.
Oh, Carolyn, thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be here on your show. Like you said, it's like we met, I don't know, 2 years ago now, and you were on my show. So yeah, I love it. Comes full circle. So I am Amanda Edwards. Like she said, I am the host of the Imperfectly Ambitious podcast, and my heart is really in helping women in particular to break through the things that hold them back, to do the thing you know you need to do, and to stop playing small. And the business side of that is me. My background is in sales. I've had a career in sales. That's all that I've done in my career. And so now it's helping women to know that you can sell with heart and with conviction, and you can put yourself out there so that you can make more impact, right? It's selling your ideas. It's selling your thoughts and your vision and your ultimately your products and your offerings, but you have to get out of your own way and be willing to do things imperfectly in order to get to that point.
I love this because I think so many people struggle with sales. I know I am, particularly when I started my business, I was like, I don't want to be salesy. But how do people get out of their own way? Like, what have you found, like a common theme or things that people have endured during their journey of sales and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I think that with sales, you're so often, it's like this mindset of, you think you're asking somebody for money. I don't want to ask them. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to come off as salesy, as slimy, as fill in the blank. Instead, though, think about the reason why you're doing what you're doing in the first place, and think of the person who needs to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Think of that person and what are they experiencing in their life? Where are they now? Where do they want to be? And how do you fit in that journey for them? And you have to have this conviction behind believing so strongly in the person and in the people that you can help, right? And it's beyond thinking of it as a transaction. When you start to think of it as a transaction, that's when you kind of start to go in your shell. But when you can think of it as you are a leader, sales, I believe, is a very critical part of leadership. You're leading somebody through a series of ideas, of perspective shifts, of ultimately going through something, and then it's going to involve purchasing whatever it is you have in the end, right? That's going to help them solve something. It's going to help them come out on the other side of something. And so it's so, that's something, and like what you do, I love it so much. And I think this fits perfectly in, like, when you do your mindset work and your Monday mindset, and you are helping people. All of that, to me, when I talk about sales, that's sales. You're selling ideas. You are selling major perspective shifts that you know can literally change somebody's life. And so when you can tap into that and realize you're not only selling when you're selling a product, you are selling, intentionally selling ideas that you know, and it's very from a very authentic and genuine place. And then when they're ready, after seeing the perspective shift, seeing what's possible, then maybe there will be a transaction at some point of money. But that's them wanting that because they need a solution and they trust you. They see you as the person that is there to help them. And then they invest in from a financial perspective. And that's how business grows. That's just how it grows.
Absolutely. And I think that's the bottom line too. It's really coming from that place of intent to help somebody, to have that solution to it, whatever the problem may be in whatever industry it is. But at the end of the day, it's solving that problem for somebody. All these like products that come out that you're like, what is this? But it's because somebody struggled with that and they don't want anyone else to struggle with that. And I know, especially for you too. And I know you just had your 6-week coaching program, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to hear more about that so maybe people can understand a little bit more too.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an accelerator. And in this case, it was, I feel so strongly about like people getting your message out there and connecting with who you can serve in a deeper way. And that is all part of like leading with your message and your heart and who you're there to serve and how you can do that in your own unique way and your thought leadership. I believe that podcasting is or YouTube channel or a blog, whatever is the best fit for you is the method to do that. That's a method to connect at a deeper level. I happen to have a podcast, so I was helping people in this accelerator launch their own podcast, but focus on what matters the most. In the beginning of the program, I said, we will touch on the tech, but we are going to focus on the connection. Meaning you can go to Google and Google will teach you how to start a podcast. I'm going to focus on not how to start one, but how to sustain one, how it can fit into your life, how you don't have to fit yourself or how you do things inside of a box, right? All of those things. And in that accelerator we were talking about, ultimately that is, how are you connecting with your listener? How are you then packaging your ideas and your message and standing out above the noise, right? And what felt good. And then the feedback from that program is, listen, like you can... leading with your heart, leading with that human in mind, the people over the process, you can do that. And dang it, I will be the first to admit and say, you can be fierce. You can lead in your industry. You can have such a strong conviction, but you can also feel and have others feel like they are connected to you and your message at a much deeper level by leading with your heart instead of focusing so much on the process. And that's what we talked a lot about in this accelerator group, because I think, and stop me, I'm on a roll now. So stop.
No,
me.
Keep going. I'm loving it.
especially in whatever, you know, coaching program, it might be around business or a sales training. It's so often like, okay, here's the 10 steps that you must follow in order to produce more sales. And it's so, just like, the same thing over and over. And to me, I am so, I'm not the one that's going to tell you to focus on a script. I'm not the one that's going to tell you to follow a process every time. I'm going to tell you there are some key things and fundamentals that you want to do in order to continue to create that connection, but realize that you are talking to a person. Realize that it's everybody. There will be commonalities, but everybody has their own unique desires, their own unique problems, the thing that is most important to them right now. Like you have to really hone in on what's the most important thing to them right now and how can you help under the realm of your expertise.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And I think too, it's leading from your heart too, and being able to connect to people, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of different coaching programs, a lot of different business coaches or mentors or coaches in general. However, it's that human connection that makes all the difference, because people are buying you and like what you are selling, but it's more about you and that connection that you make with them, that human connection.
Yes. Totally. No way around that. They do. They buy you first. I was talking the other day and I think I was making, it was a story or something. And it's like, people do buy from people they like. And I'm not saying that in a vanity way. I'm not saying that in some, you know, vanity metrics, like, oh, novelty. They buy from people they like, because they're going to like you if you've proven that they can trust you. They're going to like you if they've learned that you're who you say you are, you do what you say you're going to do, and they have this feeling of authenticity. You don't have to tell them you're being authentic. They can just feel it.
Yes.
And it's because they're actually listening to you. They're raising their hand when they know that maybe they're not the right fit. And they're raising their hand when they have an idea of something that could help you that maybe you're not seeing themselves. And those things all start to create your trust and your credibility. And ultimately, they like you. They're attaching themselves knowing that you're going to help them one way or the other, and that you're going to become their go-to. And so people do buy from people they like. People buy from people first.
Absolutely. And it too, I think it's just that likability factor, but it's also being able to like really see somebody, because I feel like if you have to say I'm authentic, there might be a disconnect.
Exactly. That's why I said that. It's like people who are out there waving their hands saying like, hey, look at me, I'm authentic, or hey, look at me, I'm going to, it's like, well, that you shouldn't, people just feel that. You don't need to proclaim that. And yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think too, it's just being able to be yourself and allowing room for growth as well, because I think that's part of it too. When we interact with somebody new or a new client or a new customer, we're getting a new energy, and like being able to still be yourself, but maybe like what you're saying, like there's something that we're missing, but being able to be open to that and seeing it from a different perspective, we can get more creative as well and be able to continue to grow. But I think it's being able to grow and not feel like we're kind of stagnant too, but like what you were saying with business and growing, and I know you're growing as well, your podcast has been growing. What have you found to be the key to your success with the sustainability, like you were talking about earlier?
Mm-hmm. I think it's pulling back and looking at, like, as far as the strategy around growing goes and actually making it sustainable, it's pulling back and looking at what works for you. And what, just because you've always done something doesn't mean that's how you always should do it. But it's creating the space to sit down and reflect on that and think about that. And that's something that I've always gone at a very fast pace. And I've had to be very intentional over the last few years now, for sure, to do just that, is to pause and reflect more so that I can identify, because I do that. I am able to, it goes both ways. Like when I have big wins, I'm very kind of, I just keep going. I don't stop too long to relish in it. I just keep going. If I have losses, it doesn't keep me down for long, right? Again, I've always been in sales, so it's that rejection piece. I'm conditioned to that. I'm okay with that. And so I keep going. But I say that to say, sometimes it's a blessing and a curse. You go at that pace, but you don't stop then to like reevaluate, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been more intentional of over the last few years, is what, and then realizing, you know, I can make things a lot easier on myself if I just pause and figure out, what does that look like? How can I get creative? Yeah. How can I create space for the new ideas and for the growth to occur? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that answering your question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think too, you just brought up a really good point where when we are having those big wins and we like stop or lose on our laurels and just keep like focus on, okay, well, I did great. Like I know some people might like make $10,000 that month and I'm like, all right, I'm good. I don't have to keep going. Yeah. Versus maybe not getting clients for a month and just being like, maybe I need to throw in the towel, like the extremes. Right. But I love that you did say you keep going. But I do believe it's important that we take those pauses. And like, what does that look like for you to reflect? Like, do you create time and space? Like, how do you do that?
I literally have to slow down my mind and clear off part of my schedule. Literally, I mean, tactically, that's what it looks like, just to like take a breath. Right.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
For me, it looks like, you know, I think before I would go on a walk outside, but I'd always be listening to something. I'd always be listening to a podcast or to music or whatever. Now I'm very intentional about quiet, like quiet walks with my dog, and just to let the thoughts kind of come in. And that's amazing how it does. But I think so often we just want to distract ourselves. We have input all the time. We have like the next, you know, literally voices in our ears. And it's just like, you just need to stop, because I have found it is so true. It is all in you. Like the answers are there, but you have to let it surface and think about, you know, and all of a sudden you'll have these light bulb moments. Like, I don't, like for me, like with the podcast, I don't need to be sitting right here recording all my podcast episodes. I can get creative and I can record them from different places, or I can figure out ways that just really work for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, and I think also I love that, because I do think it's that creativity piece, and it doesn't have to be a set way. Even if you've done it like one way for the last year or 2 years, and then all of a sudden you want to change it, or even if you've been doing it for a month, I think that's finding what works for you is important, and remembering that too, no matter what you're starting. And on that journey of being an entrepreneur, it is up and down. You don't always know what's going to happen.
Right. And I do think you have to try things to that point. Yeah. You have to try different things. You have to experiment, and you have to set that expectation with yourself that that's exactly what you're doing, is that you're trying it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't mean anything about you. It's not personal. And you just try the next thing, you know, but it's, that's so much of it is, I think, within that entrepreneurial spirit of trying something and putting yourself out there and taking that step without knowing if it's going to work or not, in whatever way that can apply to so many things.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing to remember too, as an entrepreneur, it's knowing that it's not always going to work. Like, failure is so common. Like, you don't realize that maybe when you start out, unless you've done it or seen others around you, but it is so common, and it's not to beat yourself up about it, but it is getting creative. I want to go back to what you said about when you do reflect and having like that quiet. I think people miss that point because some people that are just super ambitious, and I know you're ambitious too, but like having that quiet time makes all the difference. What was that shift for you when you were listening to like podcasts and other things and to having that quiet?
Well, the quiet time, it was such a difference. To your point, I am ambitious. The name of my podcast is Imperfectly Ambitious.
But not plug it.
Intentional. It's very intentional because I'm ambitious, but I also believe that sometimes that ambition, to this point, this is such a great segue, that ambition can actually hold you back from what you're truly capable of, because you get in this zone you're so used to. You know you can achieve, you know you can do it, and you check the boxes and you keep going and you keep going to that next achievement, but your dream is really here, but you're still achieving over here. But you have to be willing to do it imperfectly and just start to get here, right? And so that's this imperfectly ambitious, is like, be willing to try the stuff, step out of your comfort zone, be willing to take the first step without seeing the whole picture perfectly. But so when I would just be kind of in that go, go, go achievement mode, it looked like just really doing things that were just distractions. It was just like filling my schedule and the whole busy, when I realized, because I thought at one point, probably like 5 years ago, that in order to, it was like attached to me feeling like that was my worth, right? Is like, I'm always being busy, or I'm always, and that's like, no, that's so farthest from the case. Like, and then when I realized, I took complete control over my schedule, I unapologetically like declined meetings. Because I know for sure where my time is best spent. I know for sure I have a self-awareness around what I do best, what only I can do, where I believe I need to be spending more of my time, energy, and focus. And I will say no to the things that are going to completely pull away from that, or I will delegate the things, or I will outsource things, and, or just completely drop them altogether. Because now I am so, I think just through my own journey in a number of different ways, I just became crystal clear. And that's the truth, is that, and on that truth of that self-awareness is so critical. And when you can claim unapologetically what you do best and how you can make the most impact in your work, you focus on that and the, and clear out some of the clutter, and then create space to figure out how you can do more of that, how you can stretch yourself. Because it's not about staying in your comfort zone, like, oh, I'm good at this, I'm just going to stay here. No, it's using that and how you can stretch yourself in bigger ways using that.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Oh, we're going to, it's going to say something else.
No. Oh,
I'm
on a roll.
I was like, oh my God, you're saying everything I truly believe in as well, because I do think it is so important saying no, delegating, outsourcing, but also stretching yourself. I love that you said that too, because I do think it's not staying in that comfort zone. And I think a lot of us do take those calculated risks, but it's also not negating things that we can grow and expand in where it's necessary. And even if it's not, we do it forever, but being able to have the knowledge base, so when we do outsource it, we are equipped to know, okay, this is good or not, for purposes of business. But being able to really, I think, say no, especially just as a woman entrepreneur, or just as an entrepreneur, there's so many exciting things happening and we want to do all these things. Yeah. However, it's being able to, like what you said, crystal clear of where your priorities are and what you want to focus in on.
Where are your priorities, what you want to focus on, and then also understanding that you get to set the pace. Like, you get to set the pace of, and right now in this season, it might, you might be going a mile a minute. Next season, you might need to go a foot a minute, you know, depending on, but you set the pace. And keeping in mind, like, your core, the things that are most important to you, your core values, your ultimately, like, what are you doing this for in the first place? And making sure that some of those things are intact along the way, you know? Yes. So that you're not completely sacrificing everything in the process.
And that does happen a lot because we think, okay, well, if I'm working really hard, then it's going to pay off. So the sacrifices are worth it. But what is it worth? Your health, your family, the people that matter, you matter, your health. Yeah. All those factors. So I think that's just, oh my gosh, I feel like I could talk to you forever.
I love it.
I do have just a couple questions I like to ask at the end, just so people can get to know you a little bit more. There's nothing too risque.
Okay, here we go.
She doesn't know these questions, Erin. So the first question is, who is your hero?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm going to have to say my dad, and he passed away last year. But it's amazing how it comes full circle when now all of these reflections come back. He's passed away. I knew it at the time, but there's so many things he's taught me that have become so clear, especially after he's passed away. So, and he in so many, I mean, full of joy, full of life, lived life, and was a like completely led with heart and fierce conviction when it comes to sales. And so there's so many things that all are coming full circle.
I love that. Could you share with us what one of the like major lessons you learned from him?
Yeah, that you can find joy in the smallest things, but you have to stop and look at it. Like I see the sunset now every day and I take a picture so often. That's because my dad found so much joy in the small things and he would pause and the rest of us are like, okay, dad, yeah, that's great. Let's keep moving. Well, now it's like those things are what life is ultimately about. You just have to pause and notice the beauty around you, the beauty in the sunset, the beauty in an interaction you just had with a business partner or with a friend or with your child. But they're all things that if you stop and see the gifts in those things, that's what life's about. The work will always be there. And if you believe in that, if you believe and you search for the joy, it makes everything else, quote unquote, more successful, including your work, including your relationships.
That one hits home. I love that. I think it's so important to remember and reflect on the tiny things because that's what is life is about. It's made up of those tiny moments. So I love that you learned that from your dad.
Yeah.
He sounds like an amazing man.
He definitely was.
So speaking of working hard, what motivates you to work hard?
Yeah, I go back to, I kind of have this relentless vision of, I can picture the day in the life of my family, like years out, whatever year we're in, I can literally picture. I always have my eye on like 3 years out of, not like, here's what I want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. It is truly, here's the vision that I can picture, the like a snapshot of my family in my head, what we're doing, how we're feeling. What's the feeling I want to feel 3 years from now? Is it calmer? Is it more relaxed? Is it feeling more like this? I've grown in this area, whatever it is. And then I try to reverse back and build things today that help to work towards that. And whether or not I ultimately reach that vision or not isn't the point, but it's in the pursuit of it. It's that's guiding my decisions today.
Oh, that's powerful. It really is. Like, I've never thought of it in that perspective because I always like work from my goals backwards. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my big goal. But I love that you add in the feeling too. Like, how do you want to feel?
How do I want to feel? And am I doing what I'm doing right now? Is it going to ultimately support that?
Oh, that's powerful. Yeah. Like if you resonate with that. Yeah. I definitely do. So if you were a superhero, what powers would you want?
Or powers? I was going to say what, probably know what people are thinking. I don't want to know.
Yeah, that might be a lot.
I know. So probably, what superpower could I have? If you know what I'd want to know is if there's a way to know the lessons that like people wish that they, like lessons people have been taught, like major life lessons, I don't know. That just came to me. I'm thinking about the whole, like, I would want to know people, like, it sounds so, but like almost at the end of their life, what they in their, what really mattered and like what they think of. I know that's really deep, right? That's kind of,
I love it though.
I was thinking at first, like, oh, I'd like to be invisible or something. But then I was like, what would it really matter? And like, that's what I'd want to know, because why would I want to be invisible? To see what people were really feeling or doing or thinking or, but ultimately that's what I really care about. It's like, what do people, what like really matters to be understanding like the major life lessons and what they know for sure, you know, like those things. I think it's so powerful.
Oh, that's very deep, but I
really like deep answer to that question.
But like, think about it too. Like, I mean, I wonder if there's a study about that. Like, people like going to like the end and asking them
books about it. Like, I know there are books about it, but I think that that's so, again, because it just goes to so much of the stuff that we like dwell on at the end of the day doesn't matter. Ooh. So like, you can work your work. Like, that's a life lesson. It's also, there's so many parallels between life and business. And with me, I have a heart for that business component where it's like, you same goes for, and that's what I want to do differently in business, is show people that part of it. Like, you don't, like, that's the same thing. Like, the lessons that you don't have to, the things that you think matter so much at the end of the day, doesn't really, you know?
And it's, there's that like quote, it's like, if it's going to matter, if it doesn't matter in the next 5 minutes, is it going to matter in the next like 5 years?
So true.
And like, if it's not, I mean, I messed that up a little bit, but like something around that.
That's true.
But I do think it too, it goes back to like, we work so hard and we're in this hustle mode when it's remembering, going back to like your first answer, like the joy in the small moments of understanding what's going on, like how you feel, just being connected to people, because at the end of the day, what matters to you?
Yeah. And I guarantee you the things that matter are always going to come back to people and relationships and how you made somebody feel and the impact and major perspective shifts you helped somebody to get. It's not going to be about like, did you get that last Pinterest post up or whatever? Like, you know, it's truly so focusing on those things and then what that means if you back that up into what activities are you doing to create more of that, create more of those relationships and connections.
Yes, because that's what it's about. Oh, these are great answers. So if you could share a meal with four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh my goodness. my dad. My husband. And, well, my mom and my kids. So can I have five?
We can add the fifth in there. It's a package deal. The kids are a package.
Yeah, that's right. That's hard for me because truly, I mean, I love family and friends and I love that connection piece where you eat and have a glass of wine and you chat. Like, I love that. So
I love that too. Sounds like it'd be a fun, entertaining meal.
That's right. Yeah, fun.
So what's the most daring thing you've ever done?
Well, I've been parasailing. That was pretty daring. But and something that's kind of funny. It's daring. It's not that daring. It's kind of interesting. Fun fact.
Yeah.
I took a trapeze class.
Ooh.
I know. Like, I keep peeling back the onion, but I took a trapeze class.
One at a time. One layer.
I'm right, but it was before COVID, but it was like, and so it was like flying, not the flying trapeze where you're like going to a person, but it was standing on it was a double rung type trapeze. And it was all part of this overall like circus class where you did the silks. And it was really cool. So it's not that it was daring, but the trapeze part, I mean, that was kind of daring.
We can count that. That seems daring to me.
I know. I think so.
If you agree, comment below.
Yeah, right? Like, want to go with trapeze?
That sounds like it'd be fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
I'm going to add that to my list.
Yeah.
I'm always adding things.
I know there's more daring things I've done. A lot of daring things when it comes to business, but that's a different conversation.
Yes, it is. I'm sure it could be a very long conversation. Uh-huh. Yeah. So the next question is, what's the phone app you use the most?
Instagram. I'd say Instagram and Boxer and Amazon.
Those are good ones. Those are good ones.
Good ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Right.
The next question is, what's the last book you've read?
Gosh, I have a couple going at any given time. The last one, what happened right here? this is from my friend. She was on the podcast, Sell from Love.
Ooh.
After COVID. It's really good.
Check that out.
Sell from Love. And that's probably the last one. I mean, I'm always reading, but I read like parts of books and then I mark it and I have them all marked up and I have favorites that are always kind of go-tos, but.
What's one of your favorites?
So they're on different ends of the spectrum, but Daring Greatly by Brené Brown was impactful, life-changing for me. It was at the beginning of this whole journey. Like reading that is what basically was like,
gotta
do this. Yeah. Daring Greatly. And then from a more like practical, tactical level, The One Thing by Gary Keller. If you haven't read The One Thing, it is completely what allowed me to take my schedule back. Like completely what I was talking about earlier, as far as saying no to things, as far as like time blocking. That's how the whole time blocking concept came to be, was in his. So at a tactical level, when I read that is when I learned to start to say like, all right, nope, I am going to own my schedule. I'm going to decide what's important and I'm going to make time for those most important things. And so like that was life changing from that more tactical standpoint. And then Brené Brown's was huge, huge, huge.
She's my favorite author. Yeah. Such a great book. I'll definitely have to check out The One Thing as well. Yeah. That sounds like a really good book. Some good book recommendations. Thank you. So if you were to have a movie made about your life, who would play you?
Oh my goodness. Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, I could see that actually. I love that. She's a great actress.
Jennifer Aniston. But it'd be a mixture of like, of her and, I'm trying to think of like, I don't know. We'll go with that for now. I'm trying to have a mixture of her and like a somebody who is more like gung ho on the business side, right? Like, yeah.
Well, that's a great answer, though.
Yeah,
I think that would be a great movie. Yeah. What is one of your favorite family recipes that you have?
Lasagna. I love lasagna, and my grandma had amazing lasagna. So I'd probably say that. And my mom has this really good, it's like a spaghetti recipe, but it's not like normal spaghetti. It's Irish Italian spaghetti. And so the sauce is different. It's so good. I'd be curious if anybody else has ever heard of or had Irish Italian spaghetti.
Comment below if you have, because I'm curious. What's in it though?
It's like, so the base, you know, regular spaghetti is more red, like red spaghetti sauce. The base of this is not as much because it has some like cream of mushroom soup in it.
Oh.
And tomato soup, and then so it's kind of and then hamburger and some different spices and seasonings, but I think it's the cream of mushroom in there that makes it a little different.
Yeah, that sounds different, huh? Giving me some ideas. Inspiration. Thank you, Amanda. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, what animal would it be?
My let's see. I don't know why a cheetah came to mind.
Okay, why a cheetah? Why do you think a cheetah?
I feel like a cheetah is just kind of, I don't know. I don't know why.
Well, it just felt fitting, right?
Because I was texting my sister last night about it, something with a cheetah, but I don't know. Like, it's just kind of a unapologetic, but I don't know. I don't really know. I don't have a good answer for that. Like, why wouldn't I just say like a dog or a bird or something? I don't know.
Well, cheetah, you know, it like it's fast, but it's like sly kind of, and you know,
sly. I'm like, why am I describing myself as sly? I'm not really sly.
Well, you know what it could be? It's like that pause that you take and like reflect, and you're like your next move.
Yes. Yeah. That could be. Cheetah. I have to reflect on why I said that. Just came out. These are on the fly, right?
Yeah, they are on the fly. It makes you think, though, you know, Freudian slip.
Right. Okay.
There's a reason behind it. A good reason. Yeah. I think a good reason. What's one thing that can instantly make your day better?
Just like relaxation and a good conversation, like with a friend or with like just a positive interaction with my kids. I think the it is like being able to like just find those joyful moments that make you laugh, and laughing for me is huge. Like I was talking about that the other day with somebody, like if you could, that's just the best medicine. If I could just laugh all day long, and people who make me laugh, I love it. I love it.
They're the best. Never get rid of those people.
Yeah. And then the moments too, just of like my sister and I laugh all the time. We have our own like language that it's just people would look at us, I'm sure, and be like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? And so that just always, yeah, that makes my day.
Those are the best. Yeah. I think laughter is unnecessary in everybody's life.
No. Not lose a bit. Have some laughter. Yeah.
Exactly. So what is your favorite way to spend your day off when you have a day off? Mm-hmm. Whatever it looks like for you.
Well, as much as I'd say, like, oh, I'd love to go to the beach. I live in Minnesota. So practically speaking, when I have a day off, I would love to go on a walk. Ideally, I would love to go like get a massage, maybe do some yoga, go have maybe dinner and a glass of wine with my husband or with a friend. That sort of a thing, just like hanging out, doing things that feel relaxing, not feeling rushed. That's my big thing. It's like, not even as much as what I would do, but how do I want to feel on my days off? Like I just crave like that downtime and not feeling like you're going from one thing to the next thing all the time.
Yes. Yeah. I love how you keep bringing it back to feeling, because I do think that's like just really important, something that's super important to me too. But I think having people reflect on that as well, like how you want to feel. It's not so much what you're doing.
I think so. And when you start to do that, it becomes then a habit. And like I said, it helps guide your decisions, even in business. Like when you think about how do you want to feel when you're creating your next program, or how do you want to feel in that process, which means then what do you need to do in order to make it so? And then how do you want your customer to feel in that process, or client? What do you need to do to make it so? So I think that will help to guide people in such a way that automatically will make you stand out too.
It's very true and very important to remember. Yeah. I think. And what is something like an outsider should or wouldn't know about your industry? Like if they didn't know anything, what would you tell them?
That you don't have to be so like hard and fast and like fit into this big box of the process, right? Like I talked about before, I'm talking about sales as an industry now, or women in or business in general. And that one of the biggest ways to gain credibility is to lead more with your heart while using that conviction. It's not about being mushy. It's about connecting at a more human level. That is, I believe, such a secret to business that people just blow by because they think they have to show up as a certain persona.
Just being authentic, being ourselves.
Right.
Unapologetically.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, that was my last question of the rapid questions. You did great.
Only one awkward cheetah answer, but other than that.
But there's something behind that. I think cheetah is a great answer. I'm sure people would agree with me. I do have one final question, though. Where can people find you? And do you have any services that people can know about as well?
Yeah, come hang out with me on the podcast, the Imperfectly Ambitious podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. I am at Instagram at imperfectly_ambitious. You can come to the website. So at any given time, if there's a program, it'll be there, imperfectlyambitious.com. And then there is, if they want to go just check out a free masterclass, I can tell you where that is.
Yeah.
That's imperfectlyambitious.com/magnetize. It's all about helping you to create that deeper connection with your message, so that you can make more of that impact and be more of that thought leader in your industry.
I love that. And I will definitely put those links below so everyone can just click on that and follow Amanda on her journey. But Amanda, thank you so much for being here today and going through the questions as well. You did great.
Thank you.
But I'm
so much for having me.
Well, it was a pleasure and such an honor to be able to have the opportunity to have you on today. So thank you so much.